guest today is award-winning author Michael Thomas Barry. Michael lives in Orange County, California. At university, he took degrees in both criminal justice and history. He's worked at various times as a peace officer in Orange County and as a private sector corporate asset protection specialist. Today, we're going to speak to Michael about his second book, Fade to Black, Graveside Memories of Hollywood Greats, 1927 to 1950. It chronicles the lives, deaths, and final resting places of the actors, actresses, and directors who won Academy Awards during Hollywood's golden age. Featured are Clark Gable, Betty Davis, Spencer Tracy, Ethel Barrymore, and Katharine Hepburn, just to list a few. Welcome, Michael. Great to have you with us for our Halloween edition.
Thanks for having me today, Elaine.
Okay, what made you decide to write the book Fade to Black?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a big fan of the old classic movies from the 30s and 40s. And basically, it came about from a lifetime of watching these movies. And while I was writing my first book in 2009, Final Resting Places, Orange County's Dead and Famous, I found myself lingering at the grave, one of the most famous graves here in Orange County, which was John Wayne. And at that point, I started wondering about some of the other lives of some of the other legendary actors from the golden age of Hollywood. And I thought at first I'd write a volume about all the actors, but obviously that would have been a monumental task. So I decided to pare down the idea to encompass only the Oscar winners from 1927 to 1950.
Okay. And I thought that the book was organized in a great way. Share a little bit with our listeners about that.
Well, Fade to Black is a tribute to Hollywood history as told through the first 23 years of the Academy Awards ceremony. Basically, I take the reader behind the scenes of each award ceremony and the history behind the creation of the awards, 1927, through the rise of television and the decline of the studio system in 1950. Basically, I examine, obviously, each Oscar ceremony, telling the electrifying true stories of each Oscar-winning actor, actress, and director, and I also include the supporting actor and actress as well. What I do is I tell about their extraordinary and sometimes shocking lives, their film careers, their deaths, and obviously it culminates in where they're buried at. Basically, I their stories unfold through short and concise biographies. I throw in some trivia and quotes, and I've also included over 100 rare photographs of the stars and their resting places.
Yeah. You know, I guess I enjoyed reading it. I always thought that Katharine Hepburn was British. In my mind, she always had that upper-class English accent, and she was born in New England, correct?
Right. She was very haughty in her style, but yeah, she's originally from Connecticut, born and raised, and she's also buried there with her parents in Connecticut. Betty Davis and Joan Crawford and their ongoing feud, I knew a little bit about it, but going in, I found out how much they really, really hated each other.
Right.
Which was sometimes kind of humorous, but they really were serious about it.
And I know that you you have something in the book about when Betty Davis found out that Joan Crawford had died, or was it the other way around? Tell us that quote.
Right. When Joan Crawford died, Betty Davis made the offhanded quote that, you know, and she never said anything bad about the dead. Joan Crawford is dead. Good.
Right.
So it's kind of very, very catty, but that kind of capsulized their relationship. Although in the end of their later career, they actually starred together in a few movies, some more famous movies, but very contentious, and they were very, very jealous of each other's career.
Yeah. And speaking of Betty Davis, I enjoyed her epitaph, Betty Davis, April 5th, 1908, October 6th, 1989. She did it the hard way. Can you tell us some of the other memorable epitaphs you came across?
Yeah, I have a few. Mary Pickford, one of the stars of basically the silent era towards the end of the beginning of the talkies. Her tomb is at Forest Lawn Glendale. It's locked behind an private garden, so basically you can't get in there to see unless you have a key or know somebody or whatever. But she died in 1989, and her epitaph is that she was America's sweetheart, and she basically was. And she has a very ornate tomb, just like Betty Davis. And probably the two of them are probably close, one and two, as far as in my favorites. Wallace Beery is another actor. from the 1930s. He died in 1949, and it's probably my most, the epitaph that I like the most, and it basically, it's very simple. It says, no man is indispensable, but some are irreplaceable. Very, very short and sweet, but it's very poignant as well. Another is Billy Wilder, the director-writer from Lost Weekend, The Apartment, The 7-Year Itch, Some Like It Hot. He's buried at Westwood Memorial Park, the same place where Marilyn Monroe is, and his epitaph reads, I'm a writer, but nobody's perfect. And it's short and sweet, no dates, just his name, and those are the ones that stick out the most, but for the most part, I found that the stars' graves were quite plain and unassuming. Most of the time, you wouldn't have any idea, unless you knew where you're going or who they were, what their careers were, about what they did in life.
Right.
Which was kind of shocking to me. Going there, traveling to as many as I could, I was expecting and what I found was very disappointing, and the fact that, you know, these legends of the silver screen, we built them up, and you go there, it's kind of, like I said, kind of underwhelming.
Yeah. Well, okay, so when people go to Paris, everybody goes to Père Lachaise and sees Jim Morrison's grave. If you go out to Hollywood, is there one graveyard that, you know, most people would go to and to see a lot of stars?
Well, the place that's the most fan-friendly would obviously be Hollywood Forever Cemetery in Hollywood. It hands down is the most fan-friendly. They're very open and endorse fans to come. You can actually go into their gift shop and buy a map. You have no hassles there where people, you know, if they want to take pictures, want to linger, want to be in a group, whatever, they're very, very open to it. They actually, during the summers, they actually have movies that they show in the cemetery. So they definitely openly embrace their Hollywood history. And there's many, many Hollywood people buried there, famous people, infamous people. So that would be the one that's first and foremost in my mind. A second would be in New York, which would be Ferncliff Cemetery in Hartsdale, and that's where Judy Garland and Joan Crawford are buried. They also embrace their history. On their website, they list all the famous people that are interred there. But off the top of my head, those are the two that I would visit first if I was on the East Coast or West Coast. The one I'd stay away from the most would be the Forest Lawn.
Has any star's funeral ever surpassed that of Rudolph Valentino, where they said that more than 100,000 people were estimated to have filed past? Is there another more recent star that had, you know, the funeral of the huge magnitude?
The only one that would come even close, and there's really nobody close to Valentino's, would be Judy Garland. When she died in 1969, her funeral was held in New York, and over 20,000 people paid their respects to the funeral home there. So as far as magnitude, obviously Valentino's in a league by himself. And then most recently, obviously Michael Jackson.
Would
probably be the one in the most recent history. But those three, I think, have evoked the most visitors, I would say.
Well, as this is Halloween time, are there tales of any hauntings or sightings at any of the grave sites?
You know, that's something I didn't focus in on the book, and, you know, I'm not really sure. I'm sure there is. Cemeteries always seem to invoke, you know, in people's imaginations. But as I was going through, I didn't really focus anything on that, and I don't really have any stories. I wish I did, because I love hearing about those things too. But there's some creepy situations. When I was out in New York, Sleepy Hollow Cemetery, Irvin Washington's the Headless Horseman, Alice Brady's buried there, not too far from Headless Horseman Bridge. So that was, in a way, obviously, a ghost story. It was obviously fabricated, but it was actually, the atmosphere was very, very creepy. Rainy day, rainy Sunday morning. It was definitely eerie in its own right.
Well, are there any, like, annual visitations to graves, kind of like, again, Valentino, where the woman in the black dress is carrying a red rose? Are there any, you know, annual events at any of the stars' graves?
Well, obviously Valentino, he died in 1926, and every year since that death, there's been a long list of women up until this day who still arrive and dressed in black, and they leave their rose and whatnot. It's very dramatic. You know, as far as that, I don't know any other stories other than when the birthdays and anniversaries of their death. But most of these stars, you can go to any of their graves, and there will always be some kind of memento left. There wasn't a time when I didn't go to any of these, and there wasn't something there. But obviously, Valentino is the one that's most famous. There's nobody else that I can, off the top of my head, think of that has the same kind of a annual respect, other than the fact that most of them are definitely remembered.
Okay, so what's your next project? Are you going to continue on in this kind of ghoulish vein, or what?
My next book, which will be coming out in early 2012, is definitely a switch from the graveyard book telling. It's called Murder and Mayhem, 52 Crimes That Shocked Early California.
I loved your book. Where can readers find it? Is it in most bookstores or online, or how can they get it?
You can find it in both, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can find it online. If you go into the bookstores, if they don't have it, you can order it. You can go to my website, michaelthomasberry.com, and that's Berry with an A. I also have links there as well. So basically, they can go anywhere, internet, they can go to the bookstores, and it's available everywhere.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks so much, Michael. It's a great book to read for Halloween, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Elaine.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye.